What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the show, the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I got the co-host from the East Coast, Ms. Gabriella. What's going on, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm good.
You just good?
Yeah.
You saying you good, like you up here sipping on a margarita or something. I'm good.
Oh, and I might be.
Shoot, I ain't mad at you sipping on some margaritas. Shoot, I don't like margaritas. I can't fool with them margaritas.
I don't like those, but I'm just chilling, so, you
just
know.
Just chilling. All right. So tonight's episode is Simps Anonymous. Now, Simps Anonymous comes from the YouTube channel. If those of you who follow the YouTube channel, the Advice Show TV, that particular channel, I started that episode of Simps Anonymous because there's a lot of men who are doing things that are very simp in nature. There are a lot of people make videos to tell men how much they're simps. They're simps, and they put them down and they shoot them down. But I start thinking that nobody's really telling these guys what they're doing that's making them be simps and how it's wrong and how possibly they can prevent these things from happening to them. Now, simps always need to remember, you will never get the first choice of the best girl. You always going to get the leftovers. You always going to get the trash. You're going to get the girl who has the epiphany at the end of the day. I've seen him get ran through by 3-4 dudes with kids. Then she's going to come after you because you will take her. The guys that don't simp at all, he's going to get the best woman that he can get because usually women will respect him a lot more than they respect you because you can be used because you are a sucker and a trick. Sometimes you are raised to be this way, sometimes from a single-parent household, even though it's not your fault, but it happens. Now, Ms. Gabriella, what's your take on simps as a woman?
As a woman, I don't take them very seriously. Like you said, it's kind of, I know a lot of females that actually just like to have simps around for entertainment. I know that sounds really bad, but they'll just sit there and laugh with me. Like, they'll sit there and show me their phone and be like, oh, look at this, haha, I got this guy texting me talking about he loves me, he's gonna buy me something, he's gonna take me on this trip, and I don't even love him, I just, all I gotta do is just sit there and flirt with him a little bit and then tempt him with the prospect of sex. And they never sleep with these guys either. Those are just kind of guys that they kind of just keep around just to feed their ego, and it's really sad. And these will be the same men that sit there and will be making videos crying about them, talking about how much they love them and how, you know, how they wish they, you know, would treat them right. But I think it's actually pretty embarrassing, to be honest.
It is embarrassing. I don't know if y'all saw that video that, you know, like I said, that dude, it was a Hispanic dude that was crying and carrying on YouTube. I don't know if y'all saw that. And I even did a comment, a Simps Anonymous, talking about you never videotape your simping, because what this dude did, he was crying, talking about he loved her, give him a chance, he had the teddy bear, he had the writing on the wall, he had all this stuff, crying some big old tears for this woman. Oh, well, he's like a young dude, so this girl, whatever. And this chick put him on blast in front of everybody. Now, that right there, as a man, it made me upset. It made me upset, because why would you sit there and break out crying over this female? This female not even, like I said, your wife. She ain't taking your kids from you. She ain't taking everything you love because you messed up. It's just some girlfriend. So that tell me a lot about the dude right there. Like, these dudes these days, a lot of their problem is they come from single-parent homes, and it makes them very weak, and they don't have their father around to get them straight, to put them on a straight and narrow and say, look, son, you don't do this with a woman, but you do that. And one thing I can tell you just from personal experience, women do not respect a dude that comes across as weak. They don't respect dudes that come across as a trick, even though they would use you as a trick all day long. Now, Ms. Gabriella was saying that, let me answer this call here, 860. That's probably the call we're looking for. Error code 860. Are you on the show?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, this is Holly Tova. I'm one of your subscribers on your show.
Oh, how you doing?
YouTube page. How are you? I'm fantastic.
I'm good.
I want to give you a little bit of a testimony real early so I can be anonymous of how females can be a simp.
Oh, yeah.
And so I want to just give you a little bit of a background on me. I am in my 40s, mm-hmm. and I got married when I was in my 30s.
Okay.
And I married a man who I was very loving and devoted to. And I also want to give a cautionary tale where how we as women can go wrong with men. That's the other part of what I want to say. But what happened to me was, the simp part of it was, my ex-husband now was doing a lot of things around 2007 on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You did a YouTube video about things you need to look for in a man or a woman who's cheating. It
uh-huh.
works as well for women. My ex-husband was, I mean, he was primping, like primping. I even said to him when he was ironing his clothes to go out to see his boys, I was like, you look like you're ironing your clothes to go out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
His attitude towards me became, wasn't nasty, but was impatient.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I think people need to look for. Don't necessarily look for a nasty temperament, but impatient. He was very critical of me. Things I wasn't doing right, things that I wasn't doing correctly. You didn't clean enough, even though I cleaned like nobody's business. You didn't dress enough, even though I was to the nines with what I was doing. There were a lot of other little the devil is in the details.
Well, let me ask you a question, sister. Let me
sure.
ask you a question. Because I know usually when guys doing it and they're trying to figure out ways to get out of it or something, they usually attack you that's going to mess with you or womanhood, and they'll attack you three ways. They're going to say something about your looks, what you're not doing. They're going to talk
right.
about possibly your weight. And the last blow they're going to throw at you is probably something in the sexual area.
Well, sexually, for us, it was never an issue. Sex was never a problem. I will say this. What he said to me after he got caught, and this is my simping area, is what he said to me was, I was stagnant. I was going nowhere in life. Now, at the time, I was caring for my mother who has Alzheimer's. And so the majority of my time.
Hey, sister, give me a quick second. I got to. I'm going to
sure.
come back to you, okay?
Absolutely.
Call 713. You on the show?
Yes, this is Ira.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I was calling in to discuss my business and let everybody know that we're up and coming new business and things are going well at the spa.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Ira.
Ira?
Yes, Ira.
Okay, Ira. And your name of your business is Massage, what?
Massage Left Studios. It's a French name. Left meaning more and variety.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us, what got you into doing this particular business?
I got into massage. It's been about 8 years now. I was actually singing gospel music full time and ministering full time. I still do those things as well. But a doctor had called in. He was like my last caller of that day when I was on the show. And
mm-hmm.
He was like, all the things that you had gone through in your life, he said, I guarantee you that you have the gift of touch. And I was thinking, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he wrote a check for $10,000 for me to go to school to become a massage therapist. And then the rest has just been history. But it's been a blessing, you know. So I've met a lot of people, and I just know all of the things that, you know, massage do for people as far as just helping them with, you know, stress and anxiety. You know, it's actually a better form of using medication, you know, so if people can come in and just relax for that hour, that 90 minutes, 2 hours, you know, whichever they prefer. Massage just helps a lot of things. Yeah, so
okay.
That's how I got into it.
Okay, so you say that your pastor is the one that actually, you know, gave you the backing to go to school?
No, no, it was just a random caller. Like I said, I was sharing my testimony on KSBJ about, it's been about 9 years now, and he was just one of a caller that had called in. And so when he called in off the air, he said, "I really, really need to talk to you," you know, and I was like, "Okay." And we met up with my husband and I. We had met up at this restaurant, and we started talking. He said, "You know what? I bet you have the gift of touch." And I was just like, "Well, why would you say that?" And he was just like, "You know, a person has gone through as many things as you've gone through and overcome." He said, "You know, you could really help a lot of people." So that's when he wrote the check for me to go to school to become a massage therapist. I was hesitant, but eventually I did go, and I'm glad that I did.
Oh, that's such a blessing. So now, what services do you offer at your business?
We offer anywhere from Swedish massages to deep tissue. We have sport massage, trigger point, myofascial relief. We also offer geriatric, which is for elderly people. We do go out and do, to elderly people's homes and, you know, just massage them, just help them to be comfortable because a lot of them are diabetic and, you know, they have circulation issues. We also do chair massage events, spa parties at, you know, homes for women. But we have a variety of things that we do.
Okay, and where's your business located?
My business is located in the Galleria area. It's address is 2630 Fountain View.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Texas, 77057. And the number is 713-334-5209.
Okay, now do you have a website?
Yes, I do have a website. It's www.massagelesstudios.com.
Okay, and also do you have Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yes, we do have Facebook and Twitter as well. So they can look us up at Massage Less Studios on, you know, just, you know, put it in and it'll pop up.
Okay, well, we definitely put the link to your website in the chat room. That way people can go and look at your website, see what services you have to offer. And if they want to, you know, get relaxed and get that deep tissue massage, get that deep tissue massage. Now, that one's great. That would make you feel like you just want to just go to sleep and just don't even want to wake up.
Yeah, that's it. Because Miss Rebecca, thank God, I mean, she came and she visited our place. And I guarantee you, when people come, nobody wants to leave because they said, man, you could really, really just experience the spirit of God in this place, you know. And I mean, everybody that come, they never want to leave. They just sit there. I said, so stay tuned because I'm coming up with a sleep room next, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to have a concierge deal where there we can go pick up people, bring them to our establishment, take them back home, you know, because a lot of times people don't want to deal with the traffic, you know, after getting a good massage. So we're looking to incorporate a whole, you know, a lot of other things and Ed, which is the foundation of the business. He's my business partner. His name is Eduardo Rugri. And actually, Massage Studios is a umbrella of the business. So we just incorporating a lot of things. He's a fitness trainer, awesome, awesome fitness trainer. He actually have me on some products right now where I'm trying to lose another 15 pounds. But I used to be 400 and something pounds. I was a very large woman once upon a time. You know, because of him and massage and, you know, all these things that we're incorporating, we're showing people how to lose weight and the benefits of massage and the benefits of eating right. So we have a lot of things going on, and that's coming up as well.
Oh, it sounds like everything going good, and it sounds like you, you know, having a blessed business and everything just going up and up for your sister.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And then, it does help with the support, you know, of my seven beautiful children. You know, my oldest son, he always comes and, you know, support and say, "Hey, Mom, you're doing a great job." You know, there's Joshua giving y'all a shout out. That's my oldest. I just thank God for everything that he's doing in my life. So, you know, I can't take any credit, you know, but I am a willing vessel, you know, that's, you know, willing to help people. So y'all stop by and, you know, give us a try. Our prices are very, very cheap. We're not trying to, you know, ask anybody to spend $100 for one massage. You know, actually, our prices are very, very reasonable. Our intro rate is only $35 for a full body. You know,
oh,
so.
Shoot. You know what? I'm going to tell my wife about that. $35. We're going to have to come see you.
Yes, y'all need to come because, and then with that $35, you get a hot stone and a foot scrub. So, I mean, you can't beat that.
Yes, what? Yes. Me and the wife, yeah, I'm telling her at the radio show. We got both of us.
Okay. Right. Sounds good. So.
Okay. Well, y'all stop by and see us. We'll be glad to see you. And definitely when you come in, you're going to get a warm welcome. And we're going to show love. You know, we do everything on a professional level. And that's what God requires of us anyway, to do things in excellence. And that's what the business is about, is helping and serving others and providing an excellent service.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming on the show and letting us know about your business. And like I say, we have the links in the chat room. And, you know, you keep doing good in your business, and you have a blessed day.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Holly, I'm back.
Okay.
I had to take care of some important business.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am a big fan of massage. Let me tell you that right now. I'm over here in the Northeast, and I did go to the Connecticut Center for Massage Therapy, mm-hmm. and I was certified for Swedish massage and deep tissue and Reiki and all of that stuff. And I worked on Caribbean cruise ship, and that stuff is really, really important. I mean, sometimes your massage therapist is your therapist. You have an opportunity to get a massage and to vent and to release all of the things that go on with you, and it's a good thing. I'm a real huge fan of massage. It's a wonderful form of therapy. It's not only spiritual therapy, it's tactile therapy. It's somebody touching your body and releasing a lot of negative energy, and it's a wonderful thing. So if you're in her area, please check her out.
Oh yeah, I will. She told me $35 for me and the wife too.
Yes, I'm up here in Connecticut, and I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of, there's so many different forms of therapy. Sometimes we as black folks don't want to go to a psychiatrist. We don't want to go to a therapist. We have certain issues with that, but sometimes getting to your massage therapist, not only are you getting released physically, you're getting released emotionally. There's a lot of things that come out when you're sitting on that massage table, and it's a beautiful thing. So you guys in that area, check her out. I don't know who she is. I'm listening like you guys are listening, but I'm going to give a big thumbs up for that. But to give you another portion of my simp story, is that, you know, I was married. I was dealing with a mother who has Alzheimer's. She was ambulatory at the time. She could walk around, but she was a handful. And I noticed different things that were going on with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't check in because I was so busy doing the business of dealing with my mother that I didn't check in with my husband. And that's my fault, and I do own that issue. But what I don't own was, you know, the things that he did. One of the things that he did was not only pressing his clothes and primping like he was a girl, I mean, like, he was ironing his clothes to go out with the boys. And he was, you know, the other thing is to just, you know, when they're on Facebook, now back in the day, this was in 2007 or 2006, it was MySpace, okay? So he would get on MySpace, and then when I would come in the room, he would shut it down. And he would,
oh,
you know.
Oh, that's one of them telltale signs right
yes,
there.
Once, if you walk by your spouse, be it male or female, and they're minimizing their situation, you got a situation you need to look into. But mine was even worse, more embarrassing. And my tale is, what I found out was, you know, everybody thinks that their situation is outrageous. Oh, my gosh, everything that he's doing or she's doing is so outrageous. It couldn't be done by anybody else. Well, you know what? Everything is common. My ex-husband was on MySpace, and he was doing this and that, and he would minimize his situation on the internet, and he would press his clothes. I'm like, why are you pressing your clothes to go out?
Well, can I ask you a question? He never pressed his clothes before?
He pressed his clothes before, but not as diligently.
So not to go hang out with your friends. That's kind of odd.
No. Hold on. I got to stop you on that. I'm sorry. You got to have some sort of, like, if I'm going to go somewhere with one of my homeboys, I'm not going to go like I pull my bed.
When you go out 9 o'clock at night and you press in your clothes to sit with your boys, there's an issue. That's one of the things you talk about.
Well, I agree.
It depends on where you're going to.
No. When you're going to hang out with your boys to play video games.
You're pressing your clothes
to go out to play video games with your homeboys. That was the first red flag. But I never had an issue with him before that. Now, so I let that go. Simps tales here. So I let that go, and he had a single friend. Now, single friends are an issue. Now, they shouldn't be an issue when you trust your partner, but they are when, you know, you're in the circumstances that I have. I'm caring for my mother. I'm really not paying attention. And I say that because I got to own some of it. So we...
Hold on. Let me stop you here for a minute. 1 minute. I'm gonna, just give me a second.
Yeah.
A person chooses to do what they want to do. You can have a homeboy that could be the whole of the town. It's your choice to do what you want to do.
Exactly.
And, I mean, of course, it's not a good look, you being a married man hanging with a dude as just basically a male hoe. I mean, it's just really not that a good of a look, you know, for you, because you don't want to get caught up in anything.
Yes.
But because I've had friends that, you know, they're single, and I'm still, you know, cool with them. My wife know who they are, and they don't bring no hoes around my house because I wouldn't allow it. Or go places where the women are at. I mean, it's about the man respecting, or whoever, not just the man or the woman, respecting the relationship.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, you know, what I'm saying to you is, clearly there were issues in my marriage prior to me moving to my mother's house. And that's another whole issue. Clearly, there were issues in the marriage, but I'm speaking to my simp performance because I got to own that. I got to own my simp issues where I let things go and I should have caught it. I should have checked that a long time ago before I did. That's what I'm talking about, my simp issues, where I'm saying where ladies and men need to step up and check what's going on before it becomes an issue. Had I checked what was going on, and I'm going to tell you in 2 seconds where I'm coming from. Now, I literally said to my husband, "You're primping like you're going out on a date." I literally said that to him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, look at how God is trying to show you something. Look at how somebody's trying, my higher power is like, girl, get yourself together. Get your life right. But I didn't recognize the sign because I was going on my, he would never do this, he would never do that. Because, and let me own, I wasn't checking in my own marriage. I was not checking in.
Well, let me ask you a question. You keep saying you weren't checking in. What do you mean by you were not checking in?
I wasn't checking in because I wasn't asking him how he was feeling, how he was doing, what was going wrong, what was going right. I did not check in. Prior to me, we used to live in another town before I came home to care for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to us coming home to my mother, where the destruction of my marriage happened, literally, physically, in this town. We were in another town. Now, we were breaking down before then, but in retrospect, I recognize it now. But I did not check in with him when we were in that other town. I was not asking him the important questions. I was not looking at him. So the destruction was happening then. I did not know it. It manifested itself once we moved, and my mother being ill came into an issue. Okay?
You know what? I'm listening to your situation, and I'm kind of... I'm listening to your situation. I don't look at it as simping. I think because I have a friend that's caught in not that situation, but his wife is taking care of her mother. She has Alzheimer's, but he lives at her house, okay? And he explained to me that, you know, sometimes it is hard. It's hard because his wife has to do so much for the mom on top of trying to take care of, you know, her household with their girls and, you know, him also. And they can't do certain things sometimes, you know, because, you know, the mom... And they got other family members that can help with the mom, but they won't do it. So I think really that, you know, when your mom came into play, and that's really very, not only, you know, physically, but emotionally draining as well to trying to help your ailing parent. I mean, you kind of like, you focus on that, maybe not so focused on your relationship. And, you know, it's not his mother or whatever. So even though he may understand, but I think that kind of took away from your relationship a lot, and
it,
you know, he was
did.
And I know that took a toll on you about your mother, and the reason why I brought up, like, you know, the sex situation, because I just know women are more emotional and stuff like that than us as men, and sometimes, you know, I just know how a lot of women, they get highly stressed or stuff like that, that starts lacking, not the how good it is, but the frequency of it, because 9 times out of 10 most of us men cheat based on, we're not like, oh, we just need companionship. 9 times out of 10 we're cheating out of something we're lacking at home. A lot of times it's either we're not getting the attention, because men like attention too. We're not getting the sex we want, or a woman is not looking a certain way. As usual,
well, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. But here's where, because simping is such a sinister thing. It comes in so many different ways, and here's why. I'm actually, because normally I am absolutely camera shy. I'm absolutely everything shy. I'm not trying to be out there like that. But I want to put my situation out there because simping can come in so sinisterly. And here's where the simping comes in. Because I was so forgiving. And I don't say forgiving on a, oh, I was so just generous and just this and just that. No. I was so... not even blindsided by my mother's condition and the fact that I had to deal with my mother. I was so just blindsided and so willing to take whatever I heard and take it verbatim that this man could come home and I'm washing this ninja's clothes. Excuse me. Ninja's the best word I can use. Thank you, my daughter. That he had a open wrapper of condoms in his pocket.
Wait now.
Let's go down the simping tail. I washed the clothes and I handed him the condom in my hand that I still had until about a year ago today, and handed him that condom. And this was about, we've been divorced 5 years. So it's 4 years ago. I handed him that condom. I said, what are you doing with this? He gave me the most bleepery tale. I want to say fuckery, but I won't. But I just did.
That's what it is.
He said, this is my friend's condom that I found on the floor. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, it gets better. Let's go. I'm giving y'all a cautionary tale. I'm giving your listeners. I got better. Don't laugh yet. Hold your laughter. I got better. Not only that. Let's do something. Let's go there. Not only that, after that happened, a year later, because he's, I want to be with you, I love you, I this, I that you. He was part-time parking his car in this girl's garage, living with her 3 times a week when her kids weren't there. And the girl had to move because she was fresh off of a divorce. And then she had to give away her dog. What did he do? He bring the dog to my house. Talk about telling me that the dog was, this is my friend and it's blah, blah, blah. And this didn't tell me it was from a girl. I had that dog in my house for a year. It was the dog who told me. The dog, the way he wagged his tail, the way he was so familiar with my ex-husband. He was the one that told me, the dog, that let me know something ain't right. That's simping. That's female simping. Okay? That's how, you know, it wasn't until the dog showed me this pit bull mix told me that something ain't right here, girlfriend. I kept that dog until that dog died of cancer. I love that dog to this day. I love that dog for everything. He was the most beautiful, sweetest, kindest dog. The dog gave me everything. The dog gave me life. The dog gave me knowledge. The dog gave me clarity. Thank you so much to that dog. It was finally when a guy that I was dating who worked for the department, he worked for the police department, and the woman that he was dating worked for the Department of Corrections. He, stalkerific as he was, researched that girl, got her email, work email address, and had the girl call me. And that's when I found out what was going on. Not mean that's simping to the fullest.
Wow. Well, that's that's not what I would call simping. I would call, when you're in love with somebody, a lot of times you get stupid because you really don't want to believe the worst in people. I mean, I'm telling you from personal experience. I'm telling you from personal experience. You get real stupid. You don't pay attention to signs. You don't look at the patterns. You know, because you do not want to believe that this person is doing this to you. You don't want to believe that.
And that's the thing.
That's exactly what it is. It's not that you were being a simp. It's just that you didn't want to. It, like, the writing was on the wall, but you just didn't want to see it because you wanted, you know, you wanted it to not be true. So excuse behavior that is, it's just blatantly obvious. Like, if there's a condom wrapper in somebody's pants, I'm not going to sit there and pick up my friend's condom and put it in my pocket.
Yeah, like, you know? What guy does that? Like, I don't know guy's going to do that.
And most married
folks don't use protection anyway.
I mean, the fact that he brought it home, the fact that it was in his pocket, the fact that it came out in the wash, the fact that he said he picked it up from his friend to protect his friend because his friend was sleeping around, the fact that I believed it was my, like, okay, I'm going to raise my hand to simp it. Now, I am a pretty good judge of character. I am a pretty good, I have a pretty good set of self-esteem. But I wanted to believe so much in what I was doing. And here's another thing that I want to bring, if I don't bring anything else in this phone call tonight, this is my first time calling anybody anywhere of anything. A lot of times, we ladies, and I'm just speaking to the ladies, I can't speak for the men, we bring into a relationship a body image, and this is what happened to me. So I'm only speaking for my experience and what I experience from friends of mine, my observation. That we bring into a body image, we come into it looking a certain weight class. Me, I'm 40-some-odd years old. I'm not going to give it all away. And I went into it in my late 20s, and I had twins, and I had another child, and I had another child. So my body image after that was what the marriage brought into it. It was my marriage body. My mother taught me that a long time ago. She was like, girl, you get into something with a single girl image, you come out of it with a married woman's image. She's like, and check yourself on that. And I love her for that to this day. Because I came out of it with a body image of a married woman, 250 pounds later.
Mm.
And I was like, that dictated how I responded to what he was doing. That put me into the simping class. Because if I was 156 pounds, size 9, doing my thing like I was when I met him, I think my options would have been different. But my self-esteem was a little low. Lucky for me, I came across or sadly for me, or whatever, I came in across people who said, don't judge yourself by your body image. You are beautiful at 250 as you were at 156. I was lucky enough to meet men, or sad enough. I don't know. I'm still working on that right now.
Well, what do you mean by lucky and sad? What do you mean
lucky
by that?
And sad meaning it's sad because I'm allowing an outside person to validate me.
I'm lucky enough
to have an outside person validate me. I should never, as an individual, let an outside person other than Christ himself judge me, rate me, give me kudos for who I am, where I am, what I am. I should be cool with at 250 as I was at 156, and shame on me for not having that kind of courage. Now, me having to deal with my mother in her illness, my mother in her illness has given me so much self-esteem, so much kudos. She's like, girl, if you can do this, you can do all that. Through Christ, you can do all things. If you can handle me, what you worried about? But it took, I didn't get that until after my divorce.
Was the divorce pretty hard, or it was pretty quick?
My divorce was tumultuous because I still had sex with him after we were done. And I had to wonder why I was doing that and what I felt.
You know why you were doing that? Because you were just familiar with him. And like going to some other person.
Not only was I familiar with him, I thought because this wasn't the body that I brought into the marriage. This wasn't the self-esteem that I brought into the marriage. I came in at 156. I went out at 250. That's a huge deal. And I'm only 5'4". That's a huge deal. So I had to, it was my mother in her ill state being, you know, not ambulatory anymore. My mother choked on some food, 15 minutes without oxygen. She's got a trach in her throat, a feeding tube in her stomach, catheter for urine. It was, believe it or not, my mother in her still state who taught me, girl, get your life. You are beautiful now. If you can do this, you can do anything. It wasn't him that brought that to me. I think that if my mother wasn't in her state that she's in right now, I would have never recognized that, girl, what are you doing? What do you need? What do you want? You don't have to settle for anything less. You're already doing the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who, and I'm not bashing him, it is what it is. This is a man.
It is what it is, because I talk about my situation with my ex-wife, and you can call it whatever you want, but I have some real fire behind what I say, because that female did me a lot of stuff that was wrong. All that leaving and making up lies and all this other stuff, I know all about it. I've been there, done that. Okay.
And you know what's funny? At the end of all of this cautionary tale, here's a moment of redemption. I believe that he's learned his lesson. Do I give him a free pass? No. Am I still talking to him? No. But if he wants to earn his way back, he can redeem himself. Not by child support, not by visitation.
Hold on. Let me stop you for a minute. Hold on. Earn his way back how? What do you mean by earn his way back to where?
Meaning, if you can treat me the way that I should have been treated, I don't believe.
Oh, no, sweetheart. No, no.
Sweetheart.
You know what? I'm going to listen. Y'all talk to me then. Talk to me.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's be honest with you. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have a female friend that had the same thing. Now, she wasn't married, but she was in a relationship that the guy was cheating on her repeatedly, and she had said the same exact thing. They broken up like 5 times, and every single time they had gotten back together, she said you know, well, if he would only redeem himself, if he would just show me that he's going to be there for me, he's going to support me, he's going to love me, if he's going to do this, this, and that, I'll give him another chance. And she sat there and gave this guy 50 chances, and he still sat there and cheated on him. And the reason why is because once someone cheats on you and they get away with it and you don't really do anything about it, like you actually allow them back into your life, they're going to feel that they can do it again and again and again, mm-hmm. because they think that you're going to forgive them.
Right.
And they know that, you know, all they got to have to do is just do the same old thing they did last time, which is just be like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. You know, let me buy you some flowers. I'll treat you good. And they'll just keep up that behavior for about a month. And next thing you know, they're off again.
That's
unfortunately.
No, let me give my opinion on it. Since
yeah.
I'm a married man. I've been married. Please. I've been exactly in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned this much. Cheating is a deal breaker for me. If you cheat, I don't want to hear nothing more about you. I'm like, hey, you know, I have to forgive you for myself, not because of you. And I'm going to move on because I deserve for somebody to treat me right. I deserve for a woman to say, hey, you know, I'm going to stay faithful to him. You're not going to go out there and as, let's say, a woman sleeping, all these different guys come to me with your puppy dog eyes crying, saying you're going to change. You're not going to be the same thing. I take you back. Then you do it again. No, that's being a simp right there. I am not
right.
about to sit up there and let all these dudes run through you, and I'm going to take you back. Man, hell no. Then what? You going to come back with another dude baby, and I'm going to take care of that baby too? Like, no. I deserve for myself, and you got to look at yourself like, I deserve for a man to be faithful to me. If I'm going to be faithful to him, be faithful to me. You don't take no scraps. The reason why I like this, exes are ex for a reason. And the reason was the man cheated. He did you wrong. You know, if he had an issue that he wasn't getting his needs met and all this other stuff, he should have sat you down, talked
yeah,
to you,
exactly.
and say, listen, this is what's going on, and work that stuff out. That's what couples do, work stuff out. You don't go out and dip out, you know what I'm saying? And if you're going to dip out, at least talk about it and say, listen, if the relationship's over, do it the right way. Don't do it like that, because that's foul. You take care of your sick mother. I mean, think about this, what I'm trying to tell you. You take care of your sick mother. He knew this. He understood the situation, too, but yet he did not talk to you and tell you what his issues were. So it's just as much his fault, too, because he did not come up to you and talk to you and tell you what his issues were. He went out there with this woman, could have brought you back, God knows, whatever disease. He had the audacity to bring a dog from another woman's house to your house. Okay? I mean, think about this stuff.
No,
he has
right.
audacity to lie and say a condom is from his friend's house. We know good way he was smashing that female with that condom, and you put your hand on a condom, and this man had up in another female's vagina. That should make
yes.
you more pissed off than anything. And then just for me to hear you say, well, if he, you know, gets himself together and he, like, no, the hell no with that. No, you deserve better than that. Come on now.
Yes, yes. I agree with you. I sit down sometimes, and I've prayed on it. I've done everything, and I really feel like at this point in my life that if I'm not comfortable with it, then it's not comfortable for me. I really have, and like I said, it's been 5 years since my divorce. And I have been messing around with him off and on, and I feel like...
Oh, God, you think I feel
and this, and that's why I'm calling, because this is a Simp's Tale. I want to give other women just some sort of, I don't know what, but, like, don't get in the position that I'm in. And I feel like, you know, I'm still dealing with what I'm dealing with from the woman who's 250 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessary. And that's
but
not needed. And even if I was 250 pounds, I still don't deserve what I've been giving. But I've been allowing it to happen.
Exactly. The thing is that you get what you allow. And you really need to stop sleeping with this man. Because
yeah.
he's going to keep you around as a sex toy. Excuse my language. But he's going to keep you around as a sex toy for
yeah.
as long as you're going to allow it. He might even have another girlfriend on the side, and he's still sleeping with you because he knows that he's going to be able to sleep with you and not have to do anything for it.
Yeah.
He's not going to have to treat you right. He's just going to, you know, just all he has to do is call you up, and you'll
he can just come over and do whatever he wants to do. He can do what's convenient, and I'm tired of being convenient. And that's kind of why I'm here.
And if you're tired of it, then you need to just stop doing it, because I've seen a lot of people say that they're tired of something, but you're not tired of something until you really stop doing it.
Absolutely.
If you're gonna sit there and keep sleeping with him and sitting there tolerating his mess, he's not gonna change. He has no reason to.
I mean,
feed you a bunch of lies, and you're gonna sit there and just be like, oh well, he's gonna change, and you know, it's not gonna happen.
I mean, there's so many guys out here that you can talk to. I mean, I don't know what you want to do with anybody, but shoot, if you get you a friend or whatever, I don't know how you think, and you know what I'm saying, and y'all on that level, and y'all do that, it's better to do that than fool this guy, because, yeah, there's one person saying that, yeah, you, because they even saying that you're not over him, and that you are, you know, weak emotionally still to this guy, to your ex-husband.
Right.
I'm this guy.
Right,
and you're gonna have to get over it, sweetheart. You're gonna have to let that go. That's the past. I mean,
and you know what? Here's the funny thing. I don't believe that I'm even in love with this person anymore. I don't. You know, do I have love for him? Absolutely. Am I in love with him? No. I think.
Yeah, but hold on. I gotta stop you, sister, because you said that if he changes, if he does this, if he does that. And then you will give him a chance. You got to have some sort of, you know, something for him to want that possibly.
I don't even think I have something for him possibly. I think it's about convenience.
Okay, why did you say it earlier that if he changed and he does
this?
You
know what? The reason why I'm thinking that I'm saying that is because I'm so shut in here, because I'm shut in at home with my mother. I'm here.
Then you may just be lonely. That's what it is.
Exactly. I think that's what it is.
There was a YouTube video. I don't know. I might have to find it if you can get into the chat box. But there was a video that I had watched a long time ago on YouTube. And this sister had made a video talking about, are you horny or are you lonely? And a lot of women will sit there and allow a man to sleep with them and treat them like garbage because they're lonely. And they just want. They don't care who it is. They just want somebody to pay attention to them. And your problem is that maybe you're just lonely because you're, just like you said, you're shut in with your mother. You're probably not really going out much. You don't have anybody to come over and see you. So that's the only attention that you can get is the occasional hookup with him. And you're going to have to find something else to occupy your time.
Exactly. So that's what I'm working on, and it's something that I'm aware of. I know I deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
I know I need to have better. I know that.
You're saying that, sister, but do you believe it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. No, I do believe it. I absolutely do believe it. I absolutely do believe it. I do believe that I deserve better. I do believe, you know, I should ask for better. Not from him, but from somebody else. I absolutely do believe that. I have, you know, I'm sitting here, I've talked to myself about where my self-esteem is at. I pray on it all the time. And I don't just pray on it. I talk to myself about it, about where's your self-esteem at? Where is your limit at? What do you want in life? You can want what you want, but what you had was not good enough for you. You know you deserve better. You know you deserve better. And you know you should have better. So why don't you do better? And then, like we said, the loneliness comes in. And that's where the simping, and that's why I'm calling, the simping comes in. I'm like, when are you going to stop compromising and stop tolerating what you've been giving? Now, granted, I'm not having sex with him anymore. Haven't had sex with him in the past year. But it's just, I still allow him.
Do you have any male friends outside of him?
No, because I don't go anywhere. Because I don't go anywhere. My mother is absolutely.
You don't have to go.
To be honest with you, it would be better to sit there and have somebody to hang out with and just watch a movie with than sitting around, you know, being lonely. Female friends are fun too, but sometimes
actually, to be quite honest with you, I don't even have any female friends.
Oh, well, you know, like you say, you're talking about the law. You know, the Bible says show yourself friendly to have friends. So you gotta put yourself out there and get a friend, sister. You can't just be.
I believe
you're a friendly person. You seem nice. You know, you seem, you know, a cool person. So I don't see why you couldn't, you know what I'm saying? So when you come into a situation, you look into a guy, like, to kind of fill a major void that you have. You have, like, because you're telling me you have no friends. So this guy got to fill your friend zone, and he got to fill a relationship with you. And that's a lot. And a guy, you know what I'm saying? It's one guy saying that's the truth. When he see you like that, they're
going to walk all over you.
Not only that. You just prime.
Either they're going to walk all over me, or I'm going to be so defensive. I really don't have any friends who come to see me. I'm not in a position where I can go out. I work from home. I take care of my mother. My day is basically here in the house. And I know that's an issue.
But sweetheart, that's not life. You gotta.
Even if
you have to pay a provider to come in during the week or something, you got to get out that house. You cannot live in that house like an introvert.
Yes. This
you can't. You're not a hermit. You're gonna die. Let me tell you what's gonna happen to you. If you keep going what you're going, you're gonna get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, because that's gonna drain you, and you're not living life. And you're gonna look up, and you're gonna be like, dog, what did I do? Like, with my life, I ain't done nothing. I mean, there's like a whole world out there for you to be living and doing things in your life, and you sitting in the house like you on a jail sentence.
What you could do, you could even sit there and pay for to have a nurse to come in and take care of your mother so you can get out the house on the weekends.
That's what I'm saying, a provider. My grandmother used to do that. She used to go to people's house and work, like, as a provider to help them with, you know, the bath, medications, all that stuff. Monday through Friday, my grandmother did that until she retired from that, had the weekends off. I mean, get one of them. It may cost a little money, but get out of the house. I mean, do something. Even if you go shoot to the park or something, go do something with yourself.
Here in Connecticut, where I live, my mother is in a little bit of a gray area where she will get a nurse's aide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she can only have a nurse to treat her for her wounds because she's total care and she's got a little bit of bed sores and whatever. The problem with that is that the nurse's aides here in Connecticut are not sanctioned to suction her out for her trach. And because her trach has to be suctioned out 24 hours a day, there has to be somebody here who is qualified to do that. Nurse's aides are not allowed. Now, she's got a little bit of money, but she doesn't have enough money. And with all the bills we have to pay, I don't have enough money to do that because I can't work full time. So I have to work. Now, I work as a closed caption provider, meaning when you go to a restaurant and you look on the TV and you see those words go across the screen, that's what I do for a living. Mm-hmm. But I don't work full time because I have to take care of my mother, and that's where the quandary come in. I'm an intelligent woman, I'm an educated woman, but I'm not able to work full time. And because he left and did what he was doing, he does not pay child support or anything else because he was a full-time student. Okay, whatever. But I'm not.
How many kids do you have?
I have 6 kids in total, 3 kids here at the house.
Okay, and they all from him?
No. My two adult.
Okay,
kids,
the ones that are at the house, are they any of those his kids?
Yes. 4 of them, 1 passed away. So 3 of them are here, but he's not paying child support because he's not working because he was a student. And I am taking him to court for child support for that. And he's supposed to pay $1,000 a month, but he hasn't because he's been in school. And here in Connecticut, everybody's been really kind and graceful and nice with him. So I've pursued all of those things. And I have paid, quite frankly, my own money, and I've worked overtime, and I'll be working in the next 2 hours to make sure that I have time for myself to pay for somebody to stay here to watch not only my mother, but the kids.
How old is the oldest child that's there?
15. I have twin daughters.
And you can't get your child to help take care of the mother.
Yes, no, I'm saying. You got twins.
Okay,
girl?
Let me tell you. When I was,
I have twin daughters who are 15, but they can't go in and put a suction catheter in my mother's throat to suction her out. Now, I've trained them to do it, and I've done it with them, but I'm not comfortable enough.
No, I wouldn't do that.
As a mother, leaving them for 2 hours, an hour, having to suction out their grandmother. Can they do it? Absolutely. Absolutely they can. If my mother comes, my mother doesn't have the ability to swallow, so you have to suction her throat out with a catheter in her throat. Can they do it? Absolutely they can. But am I comfortable leaving them so that I can go out and go to a movie? No, I can't do that. Morally, I can't do it. Can they physically do it? Absolutely they can.
Well, let me tell you something, sister. I mean, because it sounded like a same situation about my grandfather. Listen, my grandfather,
yeah,
he was sick, okay? And they tried to take care of him the best way they could.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was telling me, you know, oh, this is going on with your grandpa, that's going to grandpa. You know, they had providers coming in to help with him and stuff like that. But then they sat him down and said, listen, he cannot get the level of care that he needs being here at this house. He said he keeps getting bed sores, you know, and stuff like that. And that's not right to have bed sores. And so we sat down, talked to my grandmother, and my grandmother did, you know, put him, you know, in a good, you know, health care facility because she could. And then when she did that, things were a lot better for her because she was going down, literally going down. She, like I said, have people that do that 24/7. Of course, I'm not saying put them there, and we didn't put them there. My mom and them put, you know, my grandpa there, but everybody was always visiting. Everybody was always checking up, not just leaving him there. Okay, but my grandmother got back to being herself because she lost so much weight; it was looking just crazy. My grandmother wasn't baking her cakes like she normally did. My grandmother loved to bake cakes and stuff, and you know, she went back to doing, you know, stop laughing, Gabrielle. My grandmother made good cakes. Anyway, matter of fact, she's doing that today. We just bought my grandmother a new mixer, one of them standing mixers. We
mm-hmm.
bought them yesterday. She was so happy about that.
Yes.
Yeah, she was happy. So anyway, because she said, I got tea cakes to make and I got two other cakes. Now, any of your adult children, somebody told me to ask you that, your adult children, can any of your adult children help you out?
I have a sister who has mental health issues, so no. The only person here is me.
Okay, you know, one person was saying it's hard to sometimes put our, you know, parents in those places it is, but from what you're telling me, she needs somebody that's going to really help her, you know, I mean, really help her a lot. And the way it's going, that's not working. For me, I don't even like the way it sounds, what's going on with you. I don't like it, what's going on with your mom.
No, it's not.
You're not even living life, and you're not even medically
trained. You're right. I'm not living life, and every day that goes on passes me by. And what concerns me is not necessarily my relationship with my ex-husband. Fuck him, quite frankly. Fuck him. I'm done with that. I would have liked things to get better, but I wanted things to get better because of the circumstances that I'm in. I have owned that. I have accepted that. What concerns me was my circumstances with my daughters. I have three daughters here. I have two twin daughters that are 15-year-olds, and I have an 8-year-old here. And I make every effort to get out and do things with them, but I can only do so much.
That's not life. That's not life. You need to really assess what you got going on. You're not spending time with kids.
Exactly.
You got issues with yourself personally. You don't have no friends. Yeah. I mean, man, who sentenced you to jail? What judge did that?
Right, and it is. And I see life passing me by. I'm not resentful about that. I'm not bitter about that, but I am aware that it's happening.
Well, you can be aware of a lot of things, but until you sit down and actually make some hard decisions, you're going to have to do it, or because it's good to – you can recognize a whole lot of things. I can recognize my car messed up, but if I don't fix it, it's still going to be messed up. So you got to sit down and really make some hard decisions.
But if you know that if you take your car – like, see, here's the thing for me. If I put my mother in a nursing home, I know my mother will die.
Well, she's gonna, unfortunately, she may die at your house, because there may be a time when, let's say that there may be a situation where you aren't able to give her the care that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Either way, you know.
I'd rather, and this is a choice that I have made as an adult, I'd rather have her die at the house, as my father did, than for her to die in a nursing home. Because if she goes to the nurse, she is so compromised that if she goes to a nursing home, she'll have less than a year. This woman gets pseudomonas, MRSA, everything else you can imagine. I don't give her antibiotics. She has a directive about how she has a do not resuscitate order. She has all of that. My wish is for her to die on her own terms at the home. I don't want to say unfortunately. I want to say fortunately. She's doing her thing, and when she's home, she seems to do as well as she can be. The moment she's in the hospital, she gets worse. Bed sores, this, that, the other thing. I'm not about stopping tube feeding. I mean, I've listened to Dr. Topper. Well, do you want to stop tube feeding? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? I won't do that. I'm not going to break her contract between her and Christ. I signed.
Hey, you know, sister, let me say something before I answer this other call. As one person said, that the key is, they said, though, sister, is for you not to die in the process, because I promise you, you're going to go down, and you saying, well, I don't want her to die then, and I don't. And you keep saying what you want, but in the process, you're going to sacrifice. You're sacrificing your whole life. And I don't think at the end of the day, the only thing I'm going to say is, when you look up, you're going to say, was it really, worth it when I could have possibly
done it? And I thank your listeners for that. I thank your listeners for thinking about me. Not me first, but me, because it's something that I do think about. I know that caregivers, more often than not, fall by the wayside. I am aware of that.
Let me tell you something real quick. My great grandfather, he had got Alzheimer's. My great grandmother was taking care of him. Do you know that she developed bone cancer out of the blue and died before he did?
Yes. Yes,
taking care of him. So I'm just putting that out there. I mean, this happened to many people, like just getting sick and dying way before the person and it was taken care of all that time.
Yes, I do. I do understand that, and I do have health issues myself, and I'm doing the best that I can with them,
Lord.
I do understand it. So I do get it. I get it. I love you guys. I thank you guys for listening to me. This is something that can be, other than my mother issue and all that other stuff, some cautionary tale for folks to be a good lookout about what to look for in a cautionary tale. I love you so much, and take care, and you guys have a good night.
Thank you. You have a blessed night, okay?
Thank you so much.
Caller 678, you on the show?
Hey, how you doing? This is Classy in Atlanta. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, man, we're going to talk some business, man. I got some things coming up and might want to include you in it, so we'll do that offline.
Okay. You got my contact information, huh?
Yes, sir. I know how to get at you.
Okay. All right. Good deal.
I've been so busy. I just got back from California. Been out there.
All right. Cali. What part of Cali you was in, brother?
Oh, I'm from the Bay Area.
Oh, even the Bay Area. I love it out there in California. You got a business in California, man. You get me back out there. I love the West Coast. L.A. area.
That's what's up. Quick thing for the lady that just got off. I work in medical billing. One thing that she might want to do, she might want to explore looking at what coverage her mother does have, whether it be AARP, Medicaid, Medicare, and try to use some of that to possibly get a working CNA in her home. Hypothetically, and I don't know her situation, the mother's condition, but I understand why she doesn't want to have him in the hospice or something of that sort. But you want to try to get someone, kind of what you guys suggested, someone in there to alleviate some of the time that you're putting in, because sometimes people are so connected. This is one reason why they don't have doctors work on their own family members, because sometimes you're so connected that you just can't see what needs to be done. So she might just want to explore that, look at the AARP, look at the Medicaid, look at the Medicare, and see what type of options she may have to get a working CNA in there, even if it's part-time, to alleviate her some of the time.
Yeah, because I can agree with that, because I had a friend that she was doing CNA, and she would work, you know, she would stay at the people's house for 2 weeks, and then she would, you know, have a week off and then go back for 2 weeks, you know, because she worked for an agency, and she was actually living at the house. And she basically said she was on 24-hour, you know, work, you know, because, it's, you know, she had to get up and see what they need and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, she definitely needs some help, some sort of professional help, you know, because, like I said, she already said she had health problems. So,
You know, not to cut you, but you know what the unfortunate thing is? It's like I try to do with my own sibling. Too many times, I told my sibling, hey, look, and I told them this 10 years ago, let's put together $20 a month, a simple $20 a month, and there's like 6-7 of us. And I said, hey, everybody put in 20 bucks a month, that's movie money. We'll put it into a CD or war bonds, we'll let it accrue, and then when mom and dad need somebody down the road, we'll be able to dig into that interest, and we stray.
You know what, brother? That is an awesome idea. That is a great idea, what you just said. You know what I'm saying? And as a matter of fact, when I get off of this, you know, the show, I'm going to talk to my wife about that, because, you know, like with her, you know, parents, like her father is older and stuff like that, and between her and her brothers, you know, and so they have a lot of them. That can really be a good help for him too, you know. And
yeah,
I think
and you want to look at something very, very long term, like a war bonds or a very long term 10-year CD, something that you can't get into, and you know, until the time really, really comes, and then you guys can draw off that interest combined with what I said about AARP and CNA. You guys could probably alleviate anybody having to stop their life to make the accommodation, and also put them in a hospice, which I understand. I've worked in a hospice. It's more, to me, it's more detrimental than leaving than living at your home. So, you know, so yeah, that is a good way to go with that.
Okay, sounds real good. Now, tonight's topic, like I said, the sister shared some great stories, and it's not about topics. We love topics, but if people call them real situations, that's what we want to talk about on the show. I mean, it's not, we've come up with a topic, but if somebody got something that's real important, you know, and they need some help, that's what we want to do. We want to talk about these particular, you know, situations and get some good information out there. But, you know, like I said, back, you know, to along to the topic, and she touched on a few things about the simping, man. You know, what's your take on that?
Here's the unfortunate thing, man, and, you know, I've been trying to write this book for a minute on relationships. I do some relationship events out here in Atlanta. You know what the sad thing is? Men have been so feminized, and I think you and I have spoken about this some time ago. They've been so feminized to where they've lost their ability to say, no, I don't have to be involved. You got so many begging dudes, and I just got off a radio show where I told somebody, today's man thinks that busting a nut is victory. And you got cats who, they go after sex so much to the point they don't even know why they're doing it. You feel me? And it's like, dude, where is your life? You know what I'm saying? If you're doing rims on your car and all this stuff just to impress the next new chick, where is your life? And, you know, that's the new level of simping now. You know, you got guys who just spend their whole entire life looking for the next hunt. And then they realize later, golly, I wasted a lot of time. And women are doing the same thing. Women are doing what I call reverse simping, to where they're picking the same type of dudes over and over and over again, and then they wonder, why am I getting played? Then next thing you know, she's 50, and her life has passed by, and all she was a bedroom sponge. I know this is harsh me saying it, but it is what it is.
But, you know, you're talking about this simping. I have seen some major simping in the past week, and I'm going to tell you why. Me and Ms. Gabrielle discussing this before the show got started. Did you see that woman on the internet that was twerking in Walmart and making a booty clap in Walmart? Did you see that video?
No, sir.
Okay, well, there's this woman, honey. She calls herself Carmel Kitten, and she made a video, and she was talking about twerking in Walmart. So she goes by the cake section, she twerking. She goes by the milk section, she making a booty clap, and all this other stuff. She's doing different sections in Walmart. She's doing all this stuff. She has a whole YouTube channel. She's in public just twerking all these different places. Okay, fine.
Right.
Well, that video got put up on WorldStar, and of course, you know, once that happened, it blew up. And I mean, the thirstiest, simplest dudes will go to this girl page because I'm like, okay, because I'm gonna watch. And I sit there and watch these dudes talking about, oh man, you know, you could be a wife, and oh, you know, shoot, I would love to be with you. And I mean, these dudes like, and this a woman with kids. This woman,
right.
I mean, not get mind you like that, mind you like this. She got a body and everything, but she, when you look on her Twitter and stuff, she works out too. That's why she looked that way. Okay,
right.
But still, you know, she's doing all this stuff and these guys acting a fool, you know, talking about they want to talk to her, they want to, it's like, dude, why you want to talk to that kind of woman? You know, so that's
right.
The problem these days. Like, you know, these simps, you know, go after all these whorish women. Because all they can get, that's all they can get. They can't get a woman with substance. That's why I say simps get leftovers. And a
pig. I want to ask you and the lady a question. Just goes in line with what you just said. Here's my question. Do you see in your own life, as you've lived it, that a lot of guys who have been raised by some guys who have been raised by single mothers, they are so affectionate toward women to their own detriment?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Ms. Gabrielle, what's your take on that?
Okay, the question was that they would... I mean, I've seen people do the same thing, yeah, so I agree.
Yeah, so it's people, like, you know, the sad thing is, to your point, advice, is that you got these guys who don't know their own power past a female. You feel me? It's kind of like when I first got to the South, I went down to Strokers. And here I see a guy being very abusive toward the strippers. I mean, he's throwing money at them, like, with aggression. And then he goes and gets in the bucket. It's like, dude, are you just serious? You spent $500 in here, and then you went and got in a secondhand car. Are you serious? But this is the mindset of these dudes. And then, you know, it's really unfortunate. When I used to work at a mega church and I used to be a counselor, I used to run into these guys who they had so much admiration for a lady, which isn't bad. But they would always put ladies above themselves and then hate the repercussions for that energy, meaning that they would put themselves second, and then when the lady surpassed them or crushed their spirit about something, they would be so violent in reaction. And I used to say to the guy, well, at what point in time do you put yourself first, dude? Which is where I think this simping comes from. I think these guys, man, they don't know how to say no. They don't know how to say the chick ain't worth my time. I'm the investment. I'm that cat.
That's right.
And
that's right. That's a lot of your problem, brother. It's like they want to define themselves off of a woman, and since they're trying to define themselves off of the woman they can get, and then certain women reject them and don't want them, then that's when they go to complaining about, oh, this woman want a thug, and this woman, you know, if she want a thug, then that's probably not a woman you want, because obviously her decision-making isn't too well, so why are you crying over that? Then you're sitting on YouTube making 80 million videos talking about, I hate those women, And I hate them black women because obviously you can't get one of them, you know, and then they sit on there talking about, you know, they want a white woman and say you can't get one of them either. Because if you did, you'd have one. You wouldn't be on YouTube crying about black women all the time. You get what I'm saying? And you know, and the same guys that hate black women, that hate black women, and be the same guys that you see simping the black women on the various websites. I have seen it so many times. Like, dog, I thought you hate the females. Now, why are you simping with them now?
Right.
Oh, you look so good. Oh, you know, I hate weed. But then you tell, oh, your hair look good. You're like, man, come on.
Look, let me show you something funny, and I don't mean, and this is going to sound like bashing ladies, but it's not, but I just want to show you the flip side of what Advice just said. And you also see these ladies on YouTube, they champion white guys. White guys are so great. White guys are outstanding. And I had to point out to this lady, she said, you know, you always get these black guys who down talk black women. I said, do you realize there are more black women who have videos about white guys than there are black men who have negative I hate black women videos? She said, no, that's not true. I said, do the research. You have more black women putting that stuff out. But I'm not mad at it. And so I said to her, you also will notice some of these same black women, God bless their heart, they're really nice ladies, but they have been dogged out by the same white man that they champion, or they've been left with a baby. The same men that they champion. And then this last point I made to her, and I say, and isn't it funny that some of these same black women, they want the black man to be with a particular job, a particular look, a particular car, a particular height, but when they get with these white guys, they're the most scruffiest Old Navy looking dudes on the planet.
Old Navy, that's funny. But
I mean,
yeah. I agree with that, but you know what? I can also say on the flip side, us as black men, we'll sit up there and we'll get with a white girl that don't even look good at all, and you know, we all cheesing with her. But if we get a black chick, she better be looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, it's the truth.
You know what's so funny about some dudes, and I feel sorry for dudes. I'm not trying to defend them, but I do agree. Some dudes fall for peace real easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really ironic. Like, I had to explain to somebody. They said, well, why they be getting with the worst-looking white women? I said, you know what? White women, Indian women, Latin women, they play the role.
They're not better than black women at all. See, and I want to cover that in the video, bro. It's like, man, these dudes with that, they don't realize how wide open they are to be the biggest simps and suckers non-black women. Because they're wide open for it. They wide open like they don't. You think they don't play? You think they don't cheat? You think they won't take your money? Please, they women. They, of course, not women in general, but they women. Women to do that. They're like a man to do that. Like, so why you think only one group of women is gonna do that and not the other group not gonna do it? Ask a white guy if it ever happened to him, or you know, a Latin guy, or Asian guy, or you know, Indian guy. Ask them if it ever happened with their women. I guarantee they're gonna say, yeah, I've been cheated on too. You know, like, I don't get this halo mentality. You know, you got the devil, you know, mentality for your own people, but then you got a halo mentality for everybody else. Like, they don't do none of that stuff.
Right. And that's what I think this whole thing, topic you had with the simping thing, is that men like you and I, and I've seen your videos for a while, and I do the black manhood lesson thing. You guys who are self-maintained, and they don't have to belittle nobody. They don't have to glorify nobody. We just are who we are, good or bad. We're the best people to have around because we don't have to sneak you for a couple of dollars. We don't have to be shysty. We don't, you know, I tell my family all the time, I don't like $5, $10 conversations. And they say, what is that? I say, if it takes $5 or $10 to rectify the situation, I'm quick to pull it out of my pocket. I don't like having long conversation like that.
Hey, brother, give me a second. I see another call coming up. Let me see who it is. Eric Code 267, you on the show?
Yeah, how you doing today, brother? Just wanted to comment real quick on what was being said about a few minutes ago. The brother was saying that, you know, we need to stop putting, you know, females above us. And, you know, and I can agree with him because, you know, I came from the same place, you know, because I was always of the mind state that, you know, you take care of your lady, you know, you make sure your lady gets something before you get something. You know what I mean? You get yourself something, you know, you get your lady something. You know, I was always the type to, you know, the kind of guy to, you know, I guess the old saying goes, you know, you run in front of the bullet so it hits you and not her. You know, and not saying that I was bending over backwards, letting a woman run over me, but I was always of the type to, you know, to make sure she had before I had, to make sure my lady had before I had, and then expecting the same thing to be done in return to me. And when it doesn't, and when it didn't get returned, you know, like the brother was saying, you get that kind of aggressive kind of attitude towards the situation because you feel that, you know, because you're exuding this love, you're showing this love to your lady that the lady was going to in turn do the same for you. And when it didn't happen, you know, you would get really upset. And I had to learn, man, because I'm not recently out of a relationship, but, you know, I had a previous relationship, man, that, you know, the same thing happened. And then I just said, you know, after that, man, I got real sour on doing that. And I said, you know what, I'm going to put myself number one, you know, not in a selfish kind of way, but I just said, you know, because there was relationships that I put, you know, school off for, you know, to try to make the relationship work. I've done some other things to try to make the relationship work. And then when it didn't work out, you find yourself saying, well, damn, the 2 years that I spent trying to make this work, I could have done finished school. Or I could have had this, or I could have had that. You know, but then I said, you know what, no more. I said, you know, I have a certain list of things that I want to do before I hit a certain age. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to let anybody stop me this time. And it's got to a point where I'm kind of cold hearted when it comes to females and you know, because, you know, now I'll date a female or I'll go out with a female or something like that. And she'll say, well, how come, you know, we don't, you know, spend no time? How come? I'm like, well, listen, I got to do what I got to do. You know, well, this is not going to work. Well, I feel you, my nigga, but you know what I mean? But I'm going to do me.
That's why I'm a firm believer, bro, of letting the female know up front what it is. Like, don't even play with it. It's like, look, I don't want no relationship. Because I'm in a place in my life, I'm working on a few things, and a relationship would just slow me down. So, like I said, but you want to be friends, we could be cool, but don't expect no more than that. Now, I mean, that way you told her. You can't be saying, oh, you stringing me along, saying, no, I'm not. I'll say, I'm telling you, we friends. And if we do anything in the bedroom, just remember, after we do that, we still friends. This ain't no relationship because you gave me some. I'm letting you know up front. Because I'll tell you in a minute.
Right.
You
know,
some women don't want to hear that, though.
They want to hear. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Right?
And the thing about it is, I would tell a lot of these young brothers in the game right now. Or, I mean, not in the game, but, you know, just in the dating arena, that, you know, you handle your business first. You know, I mean, listen, you know, they've said it 50 years before we got here. They're going to say it 50 years after we get here. Ladies are always going to be there, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm putting, you know, ladies under the bus or anything. Not under the bus, but I'm not trying to say that we're above women. But what I am trying to say is that you and your business has to come first. You know,
because they don't respect you at the end of the day when you broke and don't have nothing. They don't respect that.
Let me make this suggestion, brother. I would advise you don't use the word cohort. I want you to use the word consistent. Mm. You consistent about you. It doesn't make you cold-hearted. It doesn't make you just consistent. You are the prize for your world. The woman is the prize for her world. There's nothing bad with that. I think that guys, many a time, when we don't grasp the idea of, hey, sweetheart, how you doing? Yeah, we can go out and hang, but check this out. I got to do what I got to do first, and then everything after that, I'll compliment you. Well, I did that. Hey, sweetheart, what did I just relate to you? Well, golly, I just, hey, sweetheart, I'm not trying to have this conversation. I got much love for you, but I got to be consistent about what I'm doing. when you lay it down like that to begin with, it doesn't come off as bad. It doesn't come, it comes off just like the sister said, a lot of people don't want to hear it, and the advice is, so what? You're being consistent toward your reality.
Right, right. And I tell them, I tell them in a minute, I'm like, I feel you, but, you know, I got to do what I got to do. You know, so if you, you know, so if you choose a step, then, you know, that's what you're going to do. You know, but I have this, I need to get done, and I need to get it done. So, you know.
And that's the best thing for a man. When we sit up here, and this just goes to that simple topic. When we sit up here and we're more consistent about what we're doing, just us. Because women do this all the time. A woman is going to, at the end of the day, a woman is going to put her hair appointment. Well, not all women, of course. But most women are going to put their hair appointment over your concern.
Hold on, Ms. Gabriella, what was you about to say?
I'm laughing. I mean, I know some women that do stuff like that. They won't care, like, they don't really care about a man. They'll do stuff like that, so it's true.
I got five sisters.
Tell a man, take it. When you're in your 20s, that's your time to make who you are right then, is in your 20s. Like, hustle, do your things. Get those females. Do not have a child. Whatever you do, is financial suicide. And take care of your business, and you'll be all right. Because like I say, those females are, oh, shoot, I'm getting a call. Hold on. Let's see here. Let me go ahead and add.
Oh, we done stirred it up. Look at that. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you put me on hold. But.
Yeah, I'm trying to join this other conversation. It's just a caller from another country. So give me, I'm trying to, how you join that? Sorry, everybody. I'm just, this Skype stuff. You know how it goes. So,
all gravy.
Yeah, it's all gravy. Yeah. There we go.
So, sister, you said you know women that do that?
I mean, I know some rude women that will do stuff like that. They'll sit there and say, oh, well, I can't go out because I'm washing my hair. Or, well, actually, that's a legitimate excuse because I can't. But still, like, they will. There's women that will sit there and put shopping or a hair appointment or things like that. They'll put themselves in front of a man. But if a man does the same thing, like he says, I'm trying to work on my business, they get upset about it.
Yeah, I understand. But he does support me in 100 things. He does be there for me every time. So it's like I really do support him in everything that he does because we does work together. We both in photography, and when he started with that, I didn't want to do it. But then I'm very good in designing. And, we both get together and start, he take the pictures and I start designing things. And, I support him in everything he does.
That's great.
And, I find that some people should, you should support your man in a lot of things. But you don't have to be, like, supporting him. And thinking that you're supporting me for a benefit that you're going to get out of it later. I don't believe in, I'm going to support him, and I hope that if he get, successful, he better know that I help him. I don't find that's right neither.
I think that's good. I think you guys are supposed to support each other. I mean, if you guys are down for each other, then you support him, he supports you. But I didn't know where to draw the line. You know, you can sacrifice some things, but there's just certain things that you cannot sacrifice in order to get where you need to go in life. And I think, career.
You thought it was all fair.
What's that?
Because you thought it was all fair.
One more time, I didn't hear you.
Because you thought it was all fair. You thought, hey, there's so many doggish men, all I have to do is be honest and supportive, and I'm going to get that mirror effect. You know what I'm saying? And just like the sister from overseas is saying, this is why I'm a champion for black men trying to find love overseas. Because while they are not perfect either, their attitude many a time is, my lady's currently from Panama. Their attitude many a times is more cooperative toward a guy who's not doggish. Some of you guys are not doggish. You're very good, sincere dudes. And I try to tell you, if you can't find an American woman who understands your sincerity and your hustle, look at somebody overseas. There's some dark-skinned women in countries hated for their dark skin, waiting for you to come rescue
them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't know about that. I ain't rescuing nobody, but
No. What I mean by rescue is that there's some people who are ridiculed for their dark skin, and they are not appreciated for their dark skin tone, period. Whether
okay,
it's Thailand.
Hold on, brother. What's her name? Your name? How you say it? Sharaita? Is how you say your name?
Yeah, Sharaita.
All right, Sharaita. I was like, okay, now she's black, okay?
Okay, from where?
I'm from Holland.
Oh, you're from Holland. Okay.
Yeah.
I need to go back to Europe. It's been a while, but shout out to people in Holland then.
Yeah, the sister called last week.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because last time she said, yeah, I stayed up all night just so I can call the show. I say, oh, Lord Jesus. I say, that's wonderful. I say, Lord bless you. You got like my grandmother, we'll say, I have the senior care package.
Yeah, I met some pretty dark-skinned girls down here from Amsterdam. They came down about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Serious business. I was down at the W Hotel, and it was because I hadn't been to Amsterdam since the early 90s, but very dark skinned. So I love dark skinned sisters. So this sister was very dark skinned, and she spoke a native language, and I was just like, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Oh, I'm from Amsterdam." I was like, "Okay."
But I'm not from Amsterdam. I'm not. I'm living in here. I'm living in Kronen. The Boeren side. In Dutch, we call it the Boeren.
Not mad at that, though. But you got a great attitude about, working together. That's good.
And that's
unfortunately, a lot of women don't want to do that, though. A lot of women think that it's all about them. The man needs to take care of me. He needs to support me. He needs to love me.
But that's the American
mindset. They don't want to. Yeah, that's the American mindset. They don't have that. I mean, thankfully, I was raised with more of the African mindset, thanks to my stepfather. But women don't understand how to treat a man, and they get mad when the man doesn't want to treat them right. But, appreciate that. I'm sorry, but I'm happy
that
they're...
And just like the brother that called in, it ain't like a lot of these dudes are hard to work with. Some dudes get tired of being players and pimps and want to be pimps. Some dudes just want to, chill out with somebody cool while they take care of their money business.
Well, I've talked to black men.
Some women don't like that, though. They think it's unfair. It's like, okay, so you're going to sit here and mess with me for years, but then I'm sitting there loving you and supporting you, and then after that you're going to kick me to the side and find a new one. So...
I don't know. I don't even know guys who really even think like that. It's like, most of the dudes I bump into are committed cats. I can tell a wolf all day long because the wolf.
Yeah,
only wants
most of us can see it. My situation, like with my wife, like I said, she, been very, very supportive. Like all the stuff that I'm doing now is because of her supporting me. I mean, I wouldn't have no website right now if it wasn't been for her supporting me or what I'm doing right now. Even on this radio show, when we discuss everything, even Miss Gabrielle, even being on this show, that was discussed and. Things
right.
They do on YouTube, that's discussed. I mean, and she supports, she's like, no, do this, and I support you, and I believe in what you're doing, and I see what's going with. And she's been very, very supportive, and that, believe it or not, when you support your man, it makes him go a lot further. Now she's starting to see results and starting to see the differences of doing these things. And it's because but at the beginning, she could have been like, no, I don't know about all that. And, she could have been kicking me the whole time, and I probably wouldn't be doing nothing.
Right.
And all you got to do is just support your man. Like, a lot of women don't realize, just support your man. That's it. Just support him. So if you see he doing something, I'm not saying support him, he ain't working, and he's scratching, you know, himself all day long. I'm talking about if he's doing something, support the man. It's not that hard. At the end of the day, you'll get more out of it. Because if he's doing good, guess what? You'll get good stuff.
Your relationship would be better because you're supporting him, and he feel more like, my woman is there for me every time, and she is accepting everything that I'm doing. She's pushing me in every single way that it's possible, you know, and it makes him feel good. It makes him feel like a man. And, yeah, I find it make the relationship much better if you support your man. And he supports me everything, too. So what I want to do, and if I want to do anything, he will be there supporting me every step of the way.
Yes, and you're right, and it goes both ways. Because I remember, like, you know, cause my wife, she's into the cake baking, you know, as well. And, you know, like, I ask her, I say, hey, what do you need to make your, you know, your cake baking go a lot further? Because my wife does all those designer cakes and stuff. I say, well, I'll need this piece of equipment, that piece of equipment. And, you know, to support her, I say, okay, I'm going to go buy it. You know, I had to put a little money into it. I'm going to buy supplies. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that.
Oh, that's what's up.
Because you got to support, you know, not only your woman support you, but you got to support her, too.
Right.
I mean, it goes both ways, because it's like a relationship to me is like an investment. The more you put into this investment that's good, you know, a good investment, you're going to get a good return out of it. I mean, at the end of the day, and I'm not talking about financial, I'm talking about all the way around. I mean, relationships, you know, they take time. I mean, you got to work together. Of course, you have your ups and downs. That's for sure. But as long as you can work together and don't disrespect each other and all this other stuff, I mean, y'all, you know, you'll be all right. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted a woman just to work with me. That's it. I just don't want to hear nothing. Just work with me. I compromise with you, everything. Just work with me, you know, because I've always been a hardworking black man. Ain't nobody can ever say that they know I'm lazy. No. That's why I can't even stand here. People say black men are lazy. I'm like, man, you know how many black men I know kill themselves working?
I know. My uncle, praise God bless his heart, man. He's on his deathbed now. And you know, I kept telling Uncle throughout the years, you do not have a supportive wife. I love my aunt, but she just sits around while you slave. And now this man done sat up here, had a stroke, and the people he done helped all these years can't even help him. You know, it's like, come on, man. But I wanted to ask the two ladies a quick question. I just had a client the other day, and this goes to what advice just said. I just don't understand in 2013 how ladies can still be picking guys who ain't working or doing stuff for themselves. This lady's been sleeping with this guy for 4 years, and he's taken her out once. And I told her, look, a meal is $10, $15. I take females out for practice. I don't see how a dude who's working can be worried about spending $20, $25.
That's because he doesn't care about her. That's the fastest way to tell. Because if a man, if the only time you hang out with a man is when you guys are having sex with each other, then clearly he doesn't care about you. A lot of women are confused. It's just that women are really confused. Like they can't tell the difference between a friends with benefits relationship or a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship. And they'll sit there and they'll think that just because a man is coming over and sleeping with them like 4 times a week, that means that the guy cares about them. And it has to do with low self-esteem oftentimes.
Wow.
They don't, they're so, just like we said earlier, they're so comfortable with somebody that's familiar to them that they're not going to sit there and go out and find somebody who actually does really love and care for them, because their self-esteem isn't there. They're not able to truly love themselves. If you loved yourself, you wouldn't tolerate something like that.
And most of the women who have, they have a lot of good men out there, but most of the women are looking for these men who are mostly on the streets. Who, myself, I hate to see men with these pants sagging, tell by the ass. It's so, I would not date a man who have sagging pants to the ass. You're over the age that you're not supposed to do that. I don't even care if it's a child, because it's not normal for me. I grew up with my mother. She dresses like really highly, and to see men as an age and just having these baggy clothes and saggy clothes, I'm not trying to offend no one, but I don't like it. I don't like seeing it.
I don't like seeing it either.
I feel like they should pull up the pants, because if you see a man having these sagging pants, people already have a stereotype about black men. They already think that the black men are thugs, they're no good, they're coons, they're all kind of these nasty words. And you're promoting what they're saying about you. You're promoting it. You're just being a victim for yourself of what they're saying about you. And you're giving them the opportunity to talk, so because you're showing it to them that you're doing it. And when they're using the N-word, like it's something so cool, it's not right. I don't understand it.
It's so funny. I went back to California. I was in a sweater vest, some nice little jeans, and some nice little shoes and what have you. And I wasn't over the top. Somebody was like, "You dress real dapper." I said, "Hey, I dress for people to look. I don't dress for dudes to look. I don't do that. So why would I walk around here dressing in a style that other dudes like to see? I ain't got time for that." But it's just funny, dudes today, man. I volunteer for Teen Dads here in Atlanta, trying to teach dudes what to expect on the next level. And it's just so funny. Guys really don't understand their value. I really applaud women for teaching their girls, because some of these same people don't teach these boys. These boys think that, I don't even know what they think. it's the epitome of simping. It really is. Like, what are y'all doing, really?
I don't get it. I don't get why these guys do that, and I don't get how these females even be with a guy like that. That's what I don't get. I mean, like, I heard a guy do a video a long time ago. He said, "Shoot," he said, "why don't women sag their pants?" He said, "We're like that." He said, "We don't see no guy sagging his pants."
But you know what? I think a lot of that caters to the culture that we're in. I mean, because you rarely do you see, you know, 30 plus, you know, guys sagging. I mean, you do see it, but rarely do you see it.
It's more the younger cats.
And like I said, I think it's the hip hop culture that sort of drives that. Because I guarantee you, if Lil Wayne came out and he started wearing 3-piece suits now, then I bet you all the young kids will start going out running, buying 3-piece suits and sweaters and shoes. You know, so I think that, you know, a lot of it what they see in these videos. The 2 Chainz started wearing, you know, nice, you know, crocodile gaiters and fur coats. You're going to see everybody start wearing crocodile gaiters and fur coats. It's all about what they look up to and what they think is cool. So they're going to do whatever they think is cool, and whatever they see is okay, that's cool. Lil Wayne's doing it. 2 Chainz is doing it. You know, whoever the fuck is doing it. So, you know, that's cool with me, so I'm going to do it.
Like Lil Wayne and Jay-Z and them start wearing them old ugly, you know, Mr. Magoo looking glasses. I don't like glasses. I'm sorry. Everybody wants to wear ugly glasses.
Remember a few years ago, Jay-Z was talking about, yo, stop wearing jerseys. You know what I'm saying? So you had all these cats that spent all their whole paycheck on jerseys. Now Jay-Z telling them you can't wear jerseys no more. You got to wear button-down shirts. And now, you know, see that's how fickle the culture is, and that's how quick you can.
You be your own person. If you like jerseys, wear jerseys. Like, shoot, like I said, I need to get one, but I wear my Houston Texans jersey. Forget that. Forget them.
You know what it is? I remember when Tupac started this nonsense. And, you know, I used to tell the story growing up in Oakland. Tupac was never like his persona. Tupac, when I met him, he was a goofy cat. Before he even got with Digital Underground, he was a goofy cat. He used to walk up, "What's up, man?" You know, he was a goofy cat. And it wasn't until he started hanging around this short dude, Money B. Money B was Tupac. Money B had was a little short guy. He had all the females. That whole lifestyle was him. And Pac just really copied this cat. And, you know, he hung around Money B, and, you know, he basically became that cat. But I remember when he did the whole Thug Life and got the tattoos, and I'm like, what the heck is this? Next, you know, cats is doing it. They start dropping the whole Afrocentric look and start doing that, tying with the bandana. I'm like, oh, come on. Are y'all serious? Are y'all serious? And I just never liked that whole thug mentality. I felt like, you know, hey, look, real gangsters make money. They don't. The whole essence of a thug is an expendable cat in the game.
Yeah, a thug is usually in force.
Oh, yeah, that's the little grunt man. That's the person that goes out and takes the fall.
Yeah,
when the real gangsters are the ones that are sitting there in their little mansion sipping, sipping $100 bottles of wine. But
exactly. Yeah. They glorify that. That, like, they not like fences. Like, in Mexico, they got the cartels, and them dudes are making money. These cats over here ain't making nothing.
I'm gonna share this funny thing with y'all. Did y'all see that thing from The Godfather where the guy who was doing all the killing for The Godfather wanted to come and thank The Godfather for inviting him? He didn't even want to see this cat.
Yeah.
That's the thug. That's
sad. Yeah, because he's a thug. It's the lowest form of the totem pole in the world of crime. He ain't the boss. The boss don't get his hands dirty. Oh, nothing. That's what you use a thug for. He do all the drive-by shootings. He do all of the dope dealing. He don't do any of that. And they tell me I'm a boss. I mean, how you a boss and you hanging out on the corner? I don't get that, because real bosses don't hang out on corners.
Let me pose a question to you guys. Let's get into the mentality of a simp, though. What drives a simp to do the things that he does? Like you were saying, brother, earlier, that some cat, you know, rolled up, spent $500 making it rain or whatever, however much money he had, and then got into a bucket. What was he thinking?
Sure, they do all that just for sex. That's it.
Sex, yeah.
They're not doing it to impress other dudes.
Mm.
Simps are
usually people with no leadership skills. They cannot convince a porcupine to stay a porcupine. They have no leadership skills. And they can't come into a woman's world and convince her that she will lose by not being with him. So they do the simpish thing. They beg, they pay. You know, people used to think that the guy who pays for an escort is a simp. Now, on a lot of levels, he is. But a lot of those business cats, they pay for a chick to go away. So, you know, the simp is the guy who begs and keeps ordering the chick. And, you know, he gives everything for this chick. I've seen some pimps who were actually simps for their prostitutes because they couldn't exist without them. So a simp is somebody who needs. A simp is somebody who can't do without. And just like your example, brother, when the day you said to a lady, hey, unfortunately, I come first, you stop being in need for a chick.
And that's right. A woman should need you, period. You don't need to be like, I need you. Usually you need a woman. Yeah, for companionship, but you shouldn't have to need her like some of these guys just need her like a dog looking for a bone. I mean, you got to stand
because
on your own
female,
feet, 2 feet, and be a man.
Because a female adds to your life. A female, biblically, Islam, Buddhism, a female adds. She is an investment to your life. She puts the culture in your life. That's why women by nature are nurturers, because they add to that. And you, in retrospect. Like I tell guys, the best thing you can ever do for a woman is give her the ability to fall back at her leisure to where she don't really have to do anything. I work because I want to. I do this.
Oh, yeah, women love that. They love
being
in that position.
Yeah, that's the best thing you can do.
I work because I want to. Or my man got it. My man does this to me. And women are happy. Like prime example, You know why a lot of white women always got a smile on their face? Because that's how they operate.
Yeah.
They are, my husband does this for me. My husband bought me a Mercedes. My husband, they just always got a smile on their face like that. And in our community, we so focused on the wrong thing that we don't take care of business, and then we always asking women to give a brother a chance. I'm like, I can't stand here a man to ask a woman to give him a chance and he ain't made it yet. I'm like, is that her responsibility for you to make it? A place to stay? All this other stuff. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Man, I
you know what I'm saying? But if we say what we're saying right now, oh, something wrong with us. We in the wrong. Like, how are we in the wrong?
I tell you, brother, you know, I'm not saying that you don't do it, but the best thing I always tell cats, romance a chick to the point where she can make her girlfriends jealous of y'all relationship, and you won't have to do no work for whatever you want. As long as that woman is able to go to her girlfriend and say, hey, me and Charlie ain't got that problem. We straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch your girlfriends, though.
And then like, the ring, like my ring I bought for my wife for her anniversary. She go quick to go show that off to people. Oh, look what he got me. And my stepmom yesterday, she never seen him. I was like, oh, my God, look at the ring. And like, oh, they love to show off. Oh, they love to show off. But for me, it makes me feel good to do something for my wife where she feels happy enough to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because she could be with me like, oh, God, look at the crap he does. You know what I'm saying? I've seen women like that, but the guys, this is bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got some women in relationships that's giving everything, and the guy's not doing nothing. And like, she don't just need a hard D at night, dude. I mean, she need more than that.
Actually, if you're really good in bed, tease your wife. Put it down and then don't give it to her all the time. Because you
I don't play that. No.
No. This is me. This is what
I guess that's you, because I don't play all that. Speaking of that, next week's show is going to be about sex and relationships. And we're going to have a lady coming on just for that topic.
Hey, I don't know, man. I'm just me personally, and I'm not braggadocious. It's just that I believe, like, the first time I teased a female, I realized how much power that was, and man, I swear, it's the best thing on the planet.
Women use it. So, I mean, women
is this: most guys cannot make a woman have an orgasm. Most can't. Dudes think they just straight pound chicks, and that's it.
No,
a lot of times they don't even give them an orgasm. And my thing is, make sure this chick, the first time I have to do something with her, my goal is to make her have at least two or three, at least.
She'll
never forget you.
Because for me, I see sex as mental for a mental period. But for females, it's really mental, especially for ladies who never was told they was beautiful, kind of like that low self-esteem thing the sister was talking about earlier. If you're a guy coming in and you're sincerely giving her that feeling, she'll go out there and feel like she could take over the world just because she with you. And vice versa for men, which is why I say white women, Asian women, they play the role. They just play the role.
Latinas, too. Don't forget them.
Yeah.
You must have some bad
experience.
I'm
kind of scared of Latinas because I can't give them no bread.
You can't what?
I'm kind of scared of Latinas because I can't give them no bread. They'll blow up.
No, you're wrong for that, dog. That's just American diet, period. That's American diet. It don't matter who.
Diet. Lord. We're not going to talk about that because I've seen all these men. I mean, I was from the military.
I know you were talking.
Oh, Lord. When the military men go and they marry these foreign women, bring them over to America, give them their first Happy Meal. Boy, for women, next thing you know, they'll be 5,000 pounds.
Exactly. See, Ms. Gabriella, what I was doing, because we playing more your role. We switched into a lot of our stuff to vegan stuff. Like yesterday, we ate the vegan sausage the other day, and that roll of vegan sausage for breakfast, and then we had the organic brown eggs. And then one of my Asian people told me that, I said, man, bread makes me blow up. So he told me, no, the only bread you need to eat that's the lowest on glycemic index is pumpernickel bread. Eat that one. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, and I looked at it, it has no high fructose corn syrup on it. And, you know, it has a different taste, but it's a very thin piece of bread. And I didn't feel like, I ate some bread, you know, by eating that bread. So, you know, a lot of Asian people, they know what to do because they don't blow up like that. You know what I'm saying? When I mean by blow up people, I mean gain weight. They don't gain weight like that because it's what they eat. You know, of course, they believe in drinking hot teas, and hot teas actually helps burn the fat versus how we drink things that's cold that solidifies fat. You know, I don't know if you heard about that, Ms. Gabriella? About drinking.
Yeah, I have. That's why I drink tea all the time, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that. So.
Yeah. Well, Ms. Gabriella, you on a different kick than most of us, so, you know.
I mean, that's another conversation, I think. You know, I mean, as far as why we as Americans are fat, I mean, because, you know, one thing that I was thinking about when you just said that is because, I mean, you got no one cooks anymore. No one cooks at home. Everybody's
no, they
know,
don't.
And the thing is, you know, everyone's lives are so busy. You know, and you got moms, especially, you know, single moms. You know, she's working until 6-7 o'clock. She got to get something to feed her kids real quick before they got to go to bed. So, you know, the first thing they're gonna hit is Popeyes. You know, the first thing they're going to hit is the Mickey D's or the Pizza Hut, you know, get something quick, and, you know, she winds up getting fat, and the kids wind up getting fat, you know, but, you know, that's another topic.
Yeah, trust me, because it's like a big government conspiracy a lot of times to make us fat and make us die off, in my opinion. Me and Ms. Gabriel discussed that shortly one time, because, like, all the food that's, like, vegan or food that's real lean or something that's good for you is high. But all the bad stuff with chemicals and all this other stuff is very cheap. Like organic stuff and no preservatives, none of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, the difference. Go ahead, bro.
It's really not that. It's really not expensive. I mean, I'm a vegetarian. I'm not. I heard you say that the sister was a vegan. I'm not, you know, quite vegan, but, you know, I'm a vegetarian, and it's really not that expensive. You know, I think I was paying more when I was eating.
Well, I'm feeding a family of four too, so it's a little different.
Yeah,
me, the wife, and the girls just about eat, you know, like, especially my 13-year-old, she eat like a grown woman. It's because she's like, what, 5'8", and she's still growing. You know, this kid, like, oh, God, this kid, you know, and then my son come over, you know what I'm saying? I'd be like, dog, how much y'all eat? Jesus, you know? So I guess food bill for me is just a little bit higher. If it was just me and the wife eating, oh, shoot, it wouldn't cost much of nothing.
In Holland, well, it's different in Holland because when me and my boyfriend go shopping, everything is very expensive, and we try to eat as healthy as possible as we can. And just to buy a couple healthy things, like, for instance, today we went to buy 4 avocados and a French bread, and we went to buy fish. And we come up to 25 euros.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's just me and he. We don't have kids. And it's just me and he. And my dog doesn't eat human food, so it's just me and he eating the food. And it's so expensive up here. And it's so ridiculous, isn't it? And I'd be seeing on TV, on TLC, that, oh, you down there have couponing, and I was like, why the hell we don't have that up here? But, and my mother friend, who from America too, she said that the couponing doesn't work for organic food.
No, it don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the couponing only works for garbage, really.
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of.
Yeah. So I always thought that, oh, shit, why it doesn't have that up here? Because the thing's so expensive, and yeah, but it doesn't work for that. And only today I learned that from her, that it doesn't work for organic food.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's stores like Whole Foods and all that specialize in all this, you know, sort of stuff. I mean, it's a little bit more. But I told my wife, I said, you know, I said, oh, no, we got to switch back to what we was eating before. I said, because, you know, we laid off of it for a month or so for some reasons. But, we jumped back on it because that other food makes you feel bloated. Like, I mean, like, right. That's the first thing I feel from is bloat. Like, I'm like, oh, man. I told my wife, I said, we can't be eating this junk. I got the organic milk in there and everything organic or gluten-free. You know, we had to switch everything out. And my favorite thing is sushi. Now, I love sushi. I will eat the sushi. I love it. And my wife got me turned on to that. I ain't used to eat sushi, but I'm a sushi fanatic now. We'll go to the sushi bar and, shoot, man, by the time we buy drinks and sushi, we come out of there spend about $75. Just me and her.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a buy out for the night because I got to hand some things before I go to bed. And
all right, brother.
Jump back in the hamster wheel, you know.
Yeah, because the show about to end anyway. So, like I said, brother, I appreciate you joining me and everything.
All right, all right.
You have a good night, brother.
Good, really feeling the show, man. I appreciate all the love tonight. All right,
brother. All right,
take care.
And I know, on that note, I'm about to advise, but I'm going to hit you up with the business thing this weekend, all right?
Okay, yeah, hit me up, bro.
All right, peace.
All right. So, everyone, hope you enjoyed the show and everything. We had a lot of different conversations going on tonight. And if you want to definitely join, me and Ms. Gabriella, she's putting her information in the chat room if you want to join with her and everything. Get to know her a little better because, she's world famous, as of
late. I want to say all that. But
yeah, she's world famous. She everybody know her name now.
Well, that's true.
But anyway, y'all can catch me, of course, on YouTube as well. I got my stuff up on the page at vibeshow.com. Visit the website if you never visit the website. Like I said, we just got it started about a month or two ago. So visit it, watch some of the videos and, engage on there and keep checking for new videos there. And so join us for the show next week. We have Miss Karen Lee Potter, and she will be discussing the importance of in relationship as we'll be discussing. So thank everyone for joining tonight and everyone for calling in, and y'all have a blessed week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.